Everyone likes secrets. And everyone seeks secrets. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Everyone likes secrets. We've been listening to the Dog Whisperer recently and enjoying thoroughly all of his presentations and the wonderful machinations that he goes through. And as we listen very carefully. And the remark is made so often by the people he works with, it's a miracle. What he has done is a miracle. He's done in just a few minutes something that is absolutely fantastic. Well, the fact is, it's not a miracle. And it is not something that he does in just a moment. What the Dog Whisperer does is the Dog Whisperer himself has trained himself to do a job. Before the Dog Whisperer goes in to his client, he says to himself, I am in charge. I am the Alpha. I am the one who's going to direct this show. No matter what condition I find, no matter what circumstances I see, no matter how difficult the dog may be that I'm to be working with, I am in charge. I am the master. Now, he doesn't have to get all excited to say that to himself, because he says that to himself every time he goes to greet a client. And the client is not so much the dog as the people, because the people themselves have not taken care of the dog and handled the dog the way the dog has to be handled. The Dog Whisperer, when he goes in to meet a client, the first thing he decides, am I dealing with human emotions, or am I dealing with an animal and his packed instinct? What am I going to deal with? Well, the Dog Whisperer has a two-pronged task. The task is the people and the dog. Two separate entities. Two separate things to work with. Now the dog may bite and jump and do all sorts of things that are not desired. But the people, because of their attitude about themselves, about the dog, about the world, they control exactly the type of response they get from the dog. The Dog Whisperer, however, comes in and says, I am the boss. I'm taking over. I am in charge. I'm in charge of the people, and I'm in charge of the animal. Now, I'm not discourteous to the people. The people are the ones who have invited me and the ones who are paying the bill. But I am in charge. And I recognized almost immediately where the problem stems from. Now, if the dog is disobedient, if the dog is one who doesn't know what he's supposed to do and doesn't do it, then he becomes intractable and difficult to work with. But instead of the Dog Whisperer worrying about that, he just comes right in and he talks to the people and he finds out what the nature of the people is, what the nature of the people is about themselves and their dog, how they feel about themselves, how they feel about the dog. Do they have any insecurities? Do they have any feelings of lack in themselves? Now, he could dig a lot deeper and know a lot more, but he stops it as soon as he gets the surface opinions that anyone could get by talking to a group of people or an individual. He doesn't really want to be a psychiatrist. He is a psychologist. He is working on the results. He's working on effects. He's not working on causes. He is the cause, however, but he's working on effects. What result do you want to have from this dog? What effect do you want to have? And now, once you know what the effect is you want to have, then this is the cause you put into motion to get that effect. A dog is an animal and needs to be led in whatever he wants to do. Now, a dog has two natures. It may be a leader or it may be a follower. Either nature is perfectly fine. And as soon as the dog whisper finds it out, then he acts upon that nature. He goes to the dog and he shows the dog that whether it's a leader or whether it's a follower, it doesn't matter. He is the leader. And so he takes his hand, as he says, and he makes it like a pincers. And when the dog misbehaves, he takes his hand and he pinches the dog's shoulder firmly but gently. And each time the dog misbehaves, he reaches down and touches the dog like that, or he gives him a shush, like a mother might give to her child when the child is misbehaving. Shush now, behave. And the dog instantly recognizes that this person is a no-nonsense person. This person is not someone that they can push around. This person is a person who is their alpha, who is in charge, who is like the dog that it jumps on top of the other dogs and straddles them and looks at them in the eye and says, I'm the boss here. You got any problem with that? You want to stay here? Then I'm the boss. If you don't want to stay here, then you do what you wish. But if you're here, I'm the boss. And the dogs and all animals succumb to that sort of response very quickly. But it has to be known who is the boss. And the dog whisperer comes into any home, and he is the boss. He puts his chest out, he puts his chin up, puts his shoulders back, and tells the people to do this too. And the people say, well, how can you do it in so short a time? Well, I didn't do it in so short a time. Before I came here, I decided that I was the alpha. I was in charge. Before I came here, I had my shoulders back. Before I came here, I walked into this house and I took possession of this house. This is my house. And you might think, well, what right does he have to take possession of the house? Well, he is dealing with an animal that has taken possession of the house. And so he has to take possession of the house. And he takes possession of the house right away from the animal. And the animal thinks to itself, I don't have to be in charge of the house anymore. How wonderful. I don't have to protect my masters. How wonderful. A lot of other things he didn't have to do anymore. But all because a new lead dog has come in. The tiger has come into the room and taken over. And everybody else sits back and says, oh boy, oh boy. You're the boss. I agree. You're the boss. Go ahead. And they let the tiger take over. They let the alpha take over. All of us in our relationships in the world, we look at people who are talented in any given area and we say how great that is. We look at a dog whisperer and we say how wonderful it is that he can just walk into a room and have the room submit to his demands of it, whether they be people or a dog. The people love him because he not only makes sense, he lets them know what their deepest limitations are that keep them from being the alpha, that keep them from being in charge. It's not that they're going to be mean to the dog. No one wants to do that. It's not that they want to hurt the animal. No one wants to do that. It's not that they want to take away the spirit of the animal, as they often remark. No one wants to do that. What they want to do is to be who is in charge. When the queen walks into the castle, she's in charge. When the king walks into the castle, he's in charge. He is in charge even over the queen by the virtue of the name king. And so oftentimes we give dogs names, and it's indicative of what they're doing. Well, sometimes they can keep the same name, but we have to change what that name means. Does tiger mean the a cutesy tiger, or does it mean a vicious tiger? It all depends on what we choose to have the name mean. Now, when the dog whisperer goes anywhere, he has a pride in himself, and when he speaks his name, "I am the dog whisperer," you know, you think to yourself, oh boy, you know, that's a little overbearing, that's a little bit much. It makes you say, doesn't he think he's good? And yes, he does. And is he? Yes, he is. Is he the master of his life and his world? Yes, he is. Is he in charge at all times? Yes, he is. Can you do it? Yes, you can. Do you want to do it? That is where the question comes. Do you want to do it? Do you want to be in charge of your life, of your animals, of your world, of your circumstance? Or do you want to feel sorry for yourself? And do you want to think that other things are manipulating you and controlling you? And a dog steps in and takes over when you don't. A person steps into your life and takes over when you don't. The doctor steps in and takes over when you don't. These are all just things that are done. Now, can you be a dog whisperer? Can you be a person who knows the secrets of life and knows how to handle them? You sure can. It's all a matter of saying, "I like me, I like me, I like me." And as you say, "I like me," you're building up self-confidence. That's what the dog whisperer has, self-confidence. And when you build up self-confidence, you can build up self-confidence in any area of your life, and you can be just fantastic. And you walk into a room and people say, here comes someone who really knows what's going on. And they turn to you instinctively because you have self-confidence. Now, you may not even know what room you've just walked into. You may not even know that there's a problem there. But your self-confidence gives everyone confidence in you. And they turn to you and they say, "What should we do?" And if you have any sense, you'll just say, "Stop. Think about it. Meditate on it. And then act for your highest good." Now, no matter what the problem is, someone responding to that sort of a call can only succeed. And so it is for each of us. As we respond to that type of a call, as we respond to that type of a beingness, we're being dog whisperers. We're learning the secret. We're learning the secret of having an enjoyable life. We're learning the secret of having a happy life and fulfilled life. We're learning the secret of the real meaning of living. Are you a take-charge sort of person, or are you a wimp? Are you a person who walks into any type of room, and the room instantly is yours, and you don't even know whether you want it or not yet, but wherever you go, you are the master. And wherever you go, because you're the master, you see other masters. And so the dog whisperer walks into people's homes, and he doesn't see these people as ineffective beings. He sees them equal dog whisperers to himself. And so he teaches them his little techniques of being a dog whisperer. And as he teaches them to, they seem so simple and so reasonable and so logical and so, why didn't we think of that? But they don't feel ineffective. They don't feel as though they've been so stupid that they have no chance to learn. One of the issues that the dog whisperer teaches, that we teach very seriously ourselves, and he teaches there is no past. A dog does not remember yesterday. He does not remember unhappinesses of the past. He may have some built-in recall circumstances that come to his attention and remind him of something, and then he remembers it. But as of itself, he doesn't do that. So if all of our circumstances in dealing with the dog are dealing in the now and expecting him to respond to the now, which he does, if all of our circumstances in all of life is responding to the now and forgetting the past, acting as though there had been never a past before, and living in the most dynamic, beautiful way right now, so it is. The past is going to be remembered only because you remember it. The past is going to be remembered by the dog only because you remember it, and you treat the dog as though it were still in the past. But now the dog is in the today, in the now, in this instant. And when you can catch up and be there with him, you will find that you are a magic person, just like the dog whisperer. You'll find that you have the wisdom, and you have the leadership, you have the power, you have the genius, just like the dog whisperer. And you'll be able to say to yourself, I'm a dog whisperer. And when you practice what he practices, you will be. And everyone can be. There was a show many years ago called The Horse Whisperer. And this man was working with horses, and horses were sometimes a little recalcitrant. They did not want to cooperate. They did not want to do what they're supposed to do, or at least what you're expected to do. And so he would talk to them, and he would go out into the meadow, and he'd talk to them. And he'd sit down on a log nearby, and he'd let the horse come to him. He'd think to the horse, I like you. You know, come on over. Let's have a chat. Well, within a few minutes, the horse walked over to the horse whisperer, and the horse whisperer was able to do his wonderful activities with him. But the horse whisperer had his consciousness in charge, his attitude in charge, his thoughts in charge, and therein the horse was in his charge. We, with animals of any kind, if we are the master, if we are in charge, then we create another master working harmoniously with us, whether it be the people or the dog. Whatever it may be, we create that by our thinking, by our attitude, by our mind, by our way of looking at things. And when I am a master, I only see another master. And I see all the people that I'm working with as masters. And they want to pretend to me sometimes that they're not. And I see right through that. And when they're ready to say, I am the master, then I will be there with them, working with them, harmoniously with them, because they always were the master. And until they recognized it, or at least claimed it, you don't always have to recognize. You can say, I like me, I'm whole and perfect, I'm the master of my being, I'm the master of my affairs, I'm the master of my life. And as you affirm these statements, then you build up a charisma within you that follows it. You build up a sense of self-confidence, and all of these things stand you in good stead of being the master that you really are. Practice these things. The dog whisperer doesn't come in without preparing himself as to who he is. The dog whisperer comes in and he says, chin up, chest out, shoulders back, self-confident, walk with the dog with the chin up, walking straight ahead. You can feel what he's doing, and you move the leash gently but firmly this way or that way as necessary to control the situation, to have the dog have only one point in mind, just like you do, walking straight ahead, confidently, wonderfully, and so it is. Can you do that? Of course you can. Can I do that? Of course I can. Do we do that? we do. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.